Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kidney Compass. We're coming live from Yokohama in Japan. Shika, always great to see you as usual. And Hiro, lovely to speak to you again and to be back face to face. Today, we're going to be talking about the results of a trial that's just been presented today in Yokohama, the ASSIST study, which is looking and exploring the role of combination therapy of atrasentan and an SGLT2 inhibitor. And so, Hiro, perhaps you can start by telling us a little bit about why this trial was important when you designed it, and what was the main result of the study?
Yeah. So we designed the trial a couple of years ago at a time that were involving data and emerging data demonstrating the benefit of SGLT2 inhibitors in people with CKD as well as in people with IgA nephropathy. We were conducting a clinical trial with atrasentan in IgA nephropathy. And we already anticipated that many patients with IgA would use SGLT2 inhibitors at the time we would finish the trial. So we thought, let's generate additional evidence on the efficacy and safety of atrasentan on top of SGLT2 inhibitors. So we wanted to generate the data pretty quickly. So we designed a clinical trial with albuminuria as the primary outcome, because such trials with the surrogate require a shorter follow-up than if you would do a trial with eGFR decline as the endpoint. We also wanted to be efficient, so we designed a crossover study instead of a parallel study, so that we didn't have to enroll 150 or 100 patients, but only 51 patients. But these patients were receiving first a treatment period with atrasentan on top of SGLT2, followed by a treatment period with placebo on top of SGLT2 inhibition, and of course, in a random order.
Fantastic. And one of the advantages of such a design, Hiro, is that patients, you know, act as their own control in a crossover trial, and that makes it much more efficient. Isn't that right?
Exactly. You're completely right. In addition, what we also did was the first treatment period was 12 weeks, followed by a washout period of 12 weeks. And then the second treatment was 24 weeks, because we wanted to ascertain the longer effects of atrasentan on proteinuria as well. So the second period was 24 weeks, and where we assessed effects of atrasentan on proteinuria in a parallel fashion. So basically, we designed a separate parallel study in the second treatment period comparing atrasentan versus the placebo patients. And thus, that was a secondary endpoint. Proteinuria changed over 24 weeks, and we had the crossover design to look at the primary endpoint of proteinuria change over 12 weeks of treatment.
This is fantastic. And so can you speak, Hiro, to how the patients enrolled in this trial might be similar to or different from other phase 3 trials such as ALIGN?
Yeah, one of the other differences that we did was that we also enrolled people with a proteinuria greater than 0.5 gram per day. So the typical IgA trials enroll people with a proteinuria level more than 1 gram per day. But we didn't know at the time we designed the study that the new guidelines would recommend to use a lower threshold for proteinuria. We didn't know that at that time. But we wanted to be quick in our study. And we also wanted to see if the effect of atrasentan was also on proteinuria was also present in people with a slightly lower proteinuria level, because it's important, we felt it was important to demonstrate that the benefit of atrasentan would also be present in people with a lower proteinuria value.
Some great insight that you all had, because as we know now, the new KDIGO guidelines support, biopsying patients earlier and treating patients earlier. And I think to your point, a lot of the other phase 3 trials are not able to give us that data on patients who have lower grade proteinuria less than a gram or 1.5, but clearly we know are at risk. So I think this is really great to be able to add to that evidence. And you did include some patients in ALIGN with SGLT2 inhibitors as well. But here you have a very unique design to add to that.
Yeah, so this study is really complementary to the ALIGN trial. In the ALIGN trial, we started with a trial in 340 patients not using SGLT2 inhibitors. So that is the main stratum of the ALIGN trial. But we also enrolled 64 patients in the ALIGN trial. The SGLT2 stratum is a separate stratum to explore the effects of atrasentan in people already using SGLT2 inhibitors. The advantage of ALIGN is that it is a longer-term study of 2.5 years. And thus, in ALIGN, we will demonstrate the effect of atrasentan on top of SGLT2 inhibition over 2.5 years on eGFR decline. ASSIST is the sister trial, smaller, 51 patients, to assess the effects of atrazentan on top of SGLT2 inhibitors on proteinuria. Now, you may have seen the press release from Novartis on the primary results of atrazentan and some additional analysis demonstrating that atrazentan will be able to preserve kidney function over time. The SGLT2 stratum will be presented from the ALIGN trial in the near future, and the data are very interesting, I can tell you.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it with bated breath. And Hiro, so why don't you just tell us about the main results of the ASSIST trial that you've just presented?
So in the ASSIST trial, atrazentan compared to placebo over 12 weeks of treatment on top of people with SGLT2 already using SGLT2 inhibition reduced proteinuria by 25%. Over the 24 weeks, this effect was present and was sustained. Effect was already maximum at 12 weeks of treatment. That is the efficacy part. Atrazentan has very modest effects on blood pressure, as we've seen with other agents. Atrazentan did not acutely reduce GFR. There is still this notion that people believe that endothelin receptor antagonists have acute effects on GFR. They are not present. We see that with atrazentan. We see that with zibotentan, another endothelin receptor antagonist. And thus, the old studies that used relatively non-selective endothelin receptor antagonists and that measured GFR showed an effect, an acute reduction in GFR, but that was only over 12 or 24 hours. When we assess eGFR in the current studies used typically after 2, 4, or 6 weeks of treatment, we don't see these acute effects on eGFR or mGFR. Big difference compared to what many people believe. Safety also very important to assess, in particular because of the fluid retention effects of endothelin receptor antagonists. That's why the combination is so beautiful, because SGLT2 inhibitors have diuretic effects. And indeed, what we see in the ASSIST trial, hardly any fluid retention when you add atrazentan on top of SGLT2 inhibition. In the first treatment period, 5 patients in the atrazentan arm, 1 in the placebo group, had a fluid retention-related adverse event. During the second treatment period, 3 patients in the atrazentan group, 3 patients in the placebo group. So very well tolerated, generally safe, hardly any change in body weight, NT-proBNP, certainly not clinically meaningful. Thus, the drug can be used in people with IgA nephropathy, is safe to use when given on top of SGLT2 and is effective.
Fantastic. That data is really important, and you've done a lot of this work, Hiro, with bioimpedance and other measures of fluid retention, and it's reassuring to hear that in ASSIST, no real change, meaningful changes in NT-proBNP, body weight, or anything like that.
Correct.
So, you know, Hiro, as we're thinking about the field of IgA nephropathy, and we now have multiple approved drugs and, you know, hopefully more coming down the pipeline, we're thinking about other novel ways of, you know, generating evidence. Do you think that there's a role for crossover studies like this and other drugs in IgA nephropathy or beyond?
Oh, it's a beautiful question. Yeah, I think so, because with the crossover study, we look at the individual response to the multiple agents. And thus, you can use, as Brandon already mentioned, each patient as his or her own control. And this will allow us to assess how does the individual respond to the different agents? And are there certain agents where the patient doesn't respond to, and does a single patient respond better to another agent? There is an editorial published today in CJSN that discusses this approach in IgA nephropathy about tailoring the medication. I think it's an interesting approach, but we'll also have to realize that when we measure the change in proteinuria, there's a large random variation, measurement variation, biological variation. And thus we have to be careful and make sure that we interpret the data correctly, because a change in proteinuria within an individual patient does not necessarily mean that that is the true change in proteinuria for that individual, given the measurement and biological variation. But on the other hand, you could argue with the new techniques that we develop, point of care
testing, at-home testing, when we can measure multiple times after every day the proteinuria levels, maybe we can get a more accurate assessment of the proteinuria change in an individual patient, which is easy because it can be done at home, and thus maybe there is a way to implement this in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there are trials that are using first morning voids and maybe doing two or three in a row to sort of address this kind of problem.
Because... But then you would do that at home, maybe.
Exactly.
In the future.
Yes. Yeah, which would be really nice. Well, Hitto, any other final thoughts that you wanted to share with us about this?
Yeah, one final thought. When you think about all the multiple therapies that are emerging, the question is, how are we going to sequence them in clinical practice? I don't believe that the chronological order in which the drugs are developed is the right order to use them in practice as we do now. I really think that we have to focus on the pathophysiology of the disease, then think about the stage at which the patient is, and then initiate medications based on the pathophysiology and based on the knowledge we have at the time. I can imagine that an SGLT2 inhibitor, an endothelin receptor antagonist, is more efficacious and safe than an RAS inhibitor, for example. So why do we not start with SGLT2 inhibitor, add an endothelin receptor antagonist, and at the end, add an ACE inhibitor? Or maybe turn it even around and think about the pathophysiology and start with the first hit, target B cells, and then add immunosuppression, and then at the end, add the more general drugs that target the more general mechanisms of the disease. Important questions to address in the future.
Absolutely. I think we are all now in an era where we're very excited to have therapies we didn't have before, and now we need to figure out how we're going to use them. And I think you're right. Maybe we need to start challenging the status quo. A lot of trials are just built to add on to a standard of care, but maybe the standard of care needs to change. So with that, thank you all for tuning in, and thank you so much, Hitto, for being on our podcast again. It's always a delight to have you and learn about all the great things you're doing. Brendan, this is fun. We're going to keep going, and please continue to follow us wherever you get your podcast news. See you soon.